Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
Jake Allen stands in his head. New Jersey keep their playoff hopes alive, barely. And three Hughes goals are the difference as the Leafs lose 6-3. We're back here on Split the Defense, Leafs post game. I'm Webby here with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and get her going in the comments for us. Take us away, CP. How do you feel about this one?
Not a great game. It's not much great to bring of it. I guess maybe TJ Brody having a decent game in a while. 2 assists, and I think like one of the only positive players.
I can get on board with that. I can fully get on board with that. I was going to bring up TJ Brody tonight too.
Other than that though, man, like this was a game where like they just played exactly how New Jersey wanted to play. They definitely played it better. But when you're going to go like counterpunch for counterpunch, like it doesn't matter how many chances you get, like they're all like grade A opportunities. Like it's just like that's a contest I don't think that the Leafs win many times, just based like they always seem to get goalied or posted or
yeah. I think we can go ahead and give Jake Allen the first star on this one tonight.
Yeah, unreal. How many shots did he end with?
Like I think it was like I don't even know, late 40s.
Yeah.
I didn't get the final stat. It was a lot. It was 42 when they flashed the last graphic and there was a few minutes left and there was flurries of shots after that. What a crazy game. Minute and 4 seconds in this time. Slick hands from Bertuzzi. The move that I use every single time in Chell. First shot on neck. And then, right? It goes in. And then the first shot on neck goes in for the Leafs in the first period.
Yeah.
We have Timmins walk a guy. We have Nyes make an amazing play. And then Allen has a season high 20 for the Leafs, season high 25 shots on goal to Jersey's 9, 39 shot attempts. And the Leafs end the period down 2-1.
Yeah.
Dominance aside, that style of play is not going to win you hockey games.
No. That seems like the style of play like from 5 years ago. I think that they've evolved from that. And New Jersey is probably the Leafs of 5 years ago. You know, like they thought that they were going to be much better than they actually are. And it's going to take time to build. And they really need defense. And yeah, the Leafs just fell into their hands, really. I just don't like any of it. It's not my style of game. It's if they played a little bit better, it's one of those that it could have been exciting. If like just a lot of shots were going in, but I don't know. That just felt like I don't. Is it Edmondson missing? Is it Riley missing? Because like the entire defense just seemed like everyone was pinching at the wrong time. No one covering. Like I don't know where the third forward is, but just how many 2-on-1s and breakaways were there? And you leave it to either of the Hughes brothers. I mean, they're gonna bury them. You know.
Yeah, even Luke Hughes, eh? Big old defenseman.
Yeah,
still got a shot on him.
Yeah, he's quite the defenseman. I mean, he definitely has some room to grow in his own end, but he's going to be a great. He's kind of similar to Quinn Hughes when Quinn Hughes started. You know, makes pretty spectacular plays, but just like lacking in certain ways. And Quinn Hughes has evolved into a better defensive player. But yeah, definitely the whole Hughes brothers are just the families dominating the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Dominated the Leafs tonight, that's for sure. Think about it, the three Hughes goals legitimately were the difference maker tonight. So we need to talk about Joseph Woll. The first goal that goes in is a knuckle puck. The second goal that goes in is a 2-on-1. And there was more. And I mean, you can't stop them all, but you'd like some saves there, right?
I don't know. I think I'm not taking much from this, to be honest. Like, it's not great. Like, save percentage wise, it's awful. Like, sure, you want one of, like, sure, if you take a save, but it's, to me, it doesn't really matter. That's, it's on the rest of the team. Like, you shouldn't be playing that way, you know? And when you put your goalie in that position, like, I don't know. Yeah.
There were a few tonight, man, where it's like, Joe Woll, he was so good before he got hurt. And he's come back and he's just, he was dominant before. You know, like he would have saved a few of those and it would have kept them in the game a little more. I understand that they left him, that they hung him out to dry. But at the same time, like, you need some saves. Like, you need a couple of saves there. Like I say, the 2-on-1, I get. The knuckle puck would have been nice to have as well, but it's a knuckle puck. And, I mean, like, there was definitely a couple of goals that I look back tonight on and I think, well, as soon as Samsonov's healthy, it's looking more and more like it's his job come playoff time.
I mean, I think so, but I think, like, I set this game aside and I'm still at that conclusion. I hear everything that you're saying, but I still am going to kind of stick with, like the team is just awful. And, like, at that point, I stopped caring about really how the goalie is playing. You know, it's one of those, but I do hear, like, your points, and it's true. And Sammy has, like, been way better at cross-crease plays where, you know, Woll is a little bit slower than what I remember going post-to-post on, like, the 2-on-1 tonight. Like, there's quite a bit of net left there, but other than that, though, like, I feel like he's been playing, like, his same calm way, just not necessarily getting, like, the big saves. And
he's just lacked that dominance, that, you know, that calmness that we thought was so great isn't so great when you're letting in 4 and 6 a night. I mean, his last few games, 2 against Boston were 4. He let in 6. I mean, I guess he did have a good night the other night, did he not? But, you know, you mix a good night into 3 shit nights, and that's not good goaltending. And he was really, really good, and I don't think he's not going to find it again. I just, it's really scaring me because I thought Joe Woll was, like, a sure thing for the playoffs here, and I was really thinking that, you know, the Leafs are going to have a dominant goalie going into the playoffs finally, which would be nice. I mean, like, they've had good goaltending. They had Jack Campbell was doing well, although, like, he had struggled at the end of the year that one year. They've had Frederick Anderson in the playoffs, but, I mean, like, he's not been great in the playoffs. but, he, you know, I'm just saying they really haven't had good goaltending, and I was thinking that, you know, Joe Woll was going to solve that. And it's not looking like that's going to be the way. We're going with shaky Samsonov and not fully healthy Joe Woll. And when I say maybe not fully healthy, maybe he feels fine physically, but he's just not up to speed, like you say. He's not getting across the crease at the same speed. He's just not doing what he needs to do to make those extra saves to steal a couple of goals back. And that's what he was doing earlier in the year, and that's why we thought he was so promising. Not just because he made the saves that everybody's supposed to make. Yeah, he made those saves too, but he was making a few that he wasn't supposed to each game as well. And that was where we really fell for Joe Woll, and that's just not the guy that he's been over the last few games that we've seen from him.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a couple things there where, like, like, even when you see, like, even the best goalies in the world, when they come back from an injury, it seems to be a lot harder than when a skater comes back, you know? And I think that that's kind of what we're seeing, and I'm not writing him off forever, but it is kind of where the Leafs are fortunate to be in the position they are, and I think a lot of teams that are going to the playoffs are probably jealous of the Leafs' goalie situation because there's quite a bit of depth there. You know, you don't have a ton of high-end talent.
You know, you but sound like Brad Tree living in the defense.
No, but, like, to be honest, how many teams are one injury away from their season just being over? And I think, like, the Leafs are in a situation where one injury isn't why they got here. Or isn't going to be the reason why they're, like, not going to be able to be the team they are. Like, if Sammy's in net and Woll's in net, if Jones is in net, I think they all can provide, like, a winnable formula.
You just have to realize that when you say that, when you think like that, that you're just saying that, like, well, their guys on the ice might be better than our guys on the ice, but our guys on the bench, way fucking better. Our guys up in the press box, way fucking better than their guys. It's like, well, that's not what matters at the end of the
day. Yeah, but, like, there's a lot of teams that struggle. Like, Edmonton, I'd take all of the Leafs goalies over any of their goalies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's a, like, shit show over there.
Yeah, like, there are teams that are way worse off than we are. And I'm actually kind of feeling okay in the goalie department as long as everyone's healthy. You know, like I feel confident with Sammy out there right now. And you're like, maybe that changes because he is that kind of a goalie. But like, I was so happy to hear that he wasn't seriously injured from like exiting the other game. Cause like, you know, that's the guy at the moment, you know, and we're looking at currently our backup was in tonight. And, you know, I think like, if you look at it in that way, Sammy's been definitely good enough to be a starter in the past 2 months. And Wolf's been definitely like a reliable backup if we need him, if it comes to that.
Sure. It's just that we had such high hopes for him. And like, I guess that's I had such high expectations and he's really disappointed in his last few starts. It's just not been.
If you're talking about dominance, then like we're lacking that. Like, I'll admit that. There's no question. Yeah.
So Morgan Riley was out tonight. He had dealing with a minor upper body injury. So our top line on defense was McCabe, Liljegren, and then Brody Lyubushkin, Benoit Timmins. What did you think of the back end tonight?
I mean, Liljegren and McCabe, I hate that pairing. I feel like we've seen it before and it's been awful before. They just don't seem to read each other properly. McCabe at certain points tonight thought he was a forward, and Liljegren just doesn't, I don't think, like, he doesn't gel well with a guy that's playing like that. So like, I think the bigger thing was that Joel Edmondson was out tonight. You know, like, that's a guy that has been like, you know, he gives me comfort being out there, because he's at least, if everyone else is doing something wrong, I can look for one guy that's going to do the right thing. And tonight I couldn't even find that. You know, and when you're putting Timmins had a great game the other night, but you're putting him in the lineup tonight and not looking so hot, making some.
Benoit Timmins has just been a dumpster fire in the past too.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, Benoit, I was at least seeing some effort from him. He's trying hard. I could see like maybe Joel Edmondson's rubbing off on him in a little way, because he's not just looking for the big hit. Like, he's kind of grinding in corners and doing like the things that like he does sometimes, but like, you know, his is more about the big impact and like big clears of the net. You know, it's the little things that I think Joel Edmondson has brought that, you know, I come to appreciate so much. So, but yeah, I throw out this lineup for defense wise. I mean, I think it sucks when you just scramble so many things when like nothing's really reliable for the D at the moment. You know, like, they should have gone back to McCabe Benoit for the game, because at least we knew that that would be something successful and not lean on Liljegren when he's just been on like a good streak. And again, we're pushing him up the lineup where we're just forcing him to fail in a way. Like, you
know. But yeah, it's we have three righties in right now though, right? So it's hard to put the two lefties together and then have the three.
Oh yeah,
the
that's actually true.
On the bottom. But so here's the Bartman's got a question. Who is Morgan's partner going into the playoffs? My answer, Ilya Lyubushkin is going to be the guy that they slot next to him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's been, Riley's kind of difficult to find a D partner for. And the only thing that seems to work is just like a guy, stay at home defenseman that, you know, is just going to basically defer to giving him the puck. And so that's what he does. So I think that he's maybe we would want it to be a little bit of a higher skill so they could be like a bona fide first, you know, pairing. But
I don't know, man. Lyubushkin made a sick pass tonight to Matthews on his goal.
Oh, what did he ever? Yeah.
A pass. I don't know, man. Lyubushkin, it's, you know, we've talked about players time and time again that every pair that they're on is better, or guys that they're just a fixer, right? I'm not saying he's going to go and fix things necessarily, but like, Lyubushkin's a great compliment to a lot of type of players out there. He certainly likes playing on the Leafs, at least. He plays very well. I've liked Ilya Lyubushkin's impact on the Leafs since he's arrived here.
Yeah, I have too, for sure. I think, yeah, it's just, I wonder what the ceiling is when it comes to playoff hockey and who you're putting them out against. But I think that I love what he brings. Like, I think in October asking them to trade for Ilya Lyubushkin. He's just like that.
I know. And I was like, oh no, don't do it. And now look at me.
Yeah. You know, things change, but
things change.
Yeah. I just like, yeah, he's kind of the perfect guy for Riley, and you know, we'll go with that. I couldn't imagine them going with any other situation. You know, even if Brody became like, you know, last year Brody, I'm not sure they're going to like depend on that.
Did you see Brody got a point on that, a secondary assist? And all he did was just like, he kind of got into trouble, passed the puck to Lyubushkin. He fires up the ice to Matthews. Matthews does it himself. Oh, it was great. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, Brody gets a point on that one. John's chiming in over here. Wall was terrible tonight. And the Bartman says, save us Matt Murray. And I wanted to talk about that. So Nick Barden tweeted out today, Matt Murray will reportedly have a meeting with the surgeon who did the goaltender's bilateral hip surgery in about a week and a half's time to determine if he can be medically cleared to play this season.
That's interesting. I mean, that's just
this season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's like, so you don't have to put Hildeby in if you end up not having the three goals ahead.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But if he's cleared to play, is that, you know, is that like, here, I will slide you this and you will clear him to play for April the 20th. That
yeah,
is the
I
first
think
day of the playoffs.
There seems to be.
What if you have to activate his cap? That's not going to work.
We're so close to the end of the season. It's not going to be a problem. Like, we've seen that the NHL seems to be understanding that if a player is out long term, you know, and they've been out for, you know, almost a full season, and he has been, and that, like, if you get down to a week, they're not going to like cap crunch you. I think they'll just ignore it. It's just, they did it to,
I don't know if they're getting it, but I definitely know that there's ways around it, because there's rules, and I don't think they're just going to ignore it. I don't know if they just like let shit fly, but, I'm sure that it's easier to fit things in at the end of the year just by dropping it down, you know, because you have so much cap space. And I think they do technically have cap space right now with Yarncroke on LTIR.
I'm not sure they have cap space for Murray, but I think that 4.6. Like, even you do four games of a conditioning stint with the Marlies, and like, you know, that is a week there. And like, you're now talking about, like, now it might be days. And I think that, like, that's not an issue, you know, and especially, I guess, like the cap as well, like they might not have the room at like the beginning of the year, but on how much cap room they've acquired throughout the year, like, you're right, there might be some like extra cap around that, especially from Yarncroke being out, but I'm not too worried about it. I just think it's kind of funny that it's coming up, and I'm wondering what the other discussions around him are going to be, but to me, it just seems like such a clear picture that he's not going to be playing. And if he is, it's like, well, that's a desperate situation. And then maybe I'm extremely happy that he's around. But I don't see that ever playing out.
Well,
I sure
looks
hope
like he could be medically cleared. I don't know. I think it's going to be something fishy. He either won't be cleared, in my opinion, or he'll be cleared for the first game of the playoffs. But like, yeah, he can play in like exactly 3 weeks and 3 days, you know, like whatever. It'll be something stupid. But right. I think that's what's going to happen. So speaking of guys that are hurt, Marner's going to be back, right? And this, well, he's day-to-day. Sheldon Keefe is now taking him off the day-to-day to day-to-day. He's officially actually day-to-day.
Yeah, I love that. That was great.
So now we should expect him soon. I would think maybe not the Thursday game is what I heard on Kipper and Bourne, but probably the weekend. They never really said. Like, he just said, I don't expect Thursday, so I'm guessing that means the weekend. If not the weekend, then like early next week. Either way, that's like two games away maximum.
Oh, don't say that.
This Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi line is going to be allowed to stay together. And this is my whole point. Who is going to get kicked off of it?
First of all, I wouldn't want to say maximum, because as someone who plays fantasy hockey, I've seen a lot of injuries drag out. But I hope that it's just like, yeah, if we see him on the weekend, that would be awesome. I honestly hope that we don't see either of them come off the line. I know that this is just like a 1% chance that this will happen, but just like, I would like Marner to just go try and put him on his own line, see like how that works.
Okay, so you've got Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, McMahon, Tavares, Nylander, Nyes, Holmberg, Marner, Nyes, Kampf, Marner. No, what do you do? Nyes, Holmberg,
I like Holmberg better.
As the center, Nyes, Holmberg, yeah. Marner. And then what are you going to have? Duer, Kampf, Robertson? Duer, Kampf.
Sure.
Who's going to be on the... Yeah, Yarncroke is going to be back, I guess. Where does Yarncroke slot in there eventually? This is a... It's a good problem to have, but you have lot of guys that are playing well, and it's I don't know where to put them.
Yeah, I think like the big one to me is Bobby McMahon moving himself to the top six. Because like that's where like a top six guy is now playing in the bottom six that we were used to.
Do you think we're all going to just be disappointed and Sheldon Keefe is just going to kick him back down? It's like, yeah, no, that's who gets kicked. It's Bobby McMahon. It's like, even though he's been super impressive and doing everything and the fans love it and the team plays well and he does well, I'm just going to kick him back down to the bottom six because that's what I do.
I honestly didn't even think about that. I didn't think about it once if Bobby McMahon would be the guy to be pushed down. I sure hope not.
He might be for the playoffs.
Yeah. I just think that, like, when you find a duo that works well, I think you just have to stick with it. And, like, I think that it's just been working way too well. And he's got a finishing shot. Like, I feel like he's got the talent to be able to play up in the top six as long as it, you know, in certain situations. He's not driving a line, that's for sure. But, like, I think he should be up there. So, yeah, I guess Sheldon Keefe sometimes just does the opposite of what I would like him to do. So I would not.
Or what we think would make sense. Like, yeah. And that's the thing. That's just an NHL coach thing. Like, do you know the difference between you and I and an NHL coach? I mean, a regular hockey player and an NHL coach, say. Sure. But they make up this crazy, weird galaxy brain shit because, I mean, like, a lot of people who follow hockey as closely as a lot of us do, any fan watching this right now is a stupid, hardcore hockey fan. Right. Yeah. And you and I are stupid hardcore hockey fans. And so any of us would know the optimal line from watching and who's going to play well with who and whatever and whatever. But these guys, they just come up with this fucking Tinker Galaxy brain and think like, oh, well, let's just try this, something that nobody else thought of. And hopefully it works. And if it works, they look like a genius. And that's what makes them the NHL coach, because they know better than the general public. And that's the whole thing. It always just seems to be the way we think, like, oh, Bobby McMahon makes so much sense in the top six. Sheldon Keefe's like, well, actually.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was just thinking there, the funny thing is how we went from just polar opposites to a coach that, like, would just not do absolutely anything, no matter how much that the fans would scream. And then we're now to a guy that we're just screaming for him to leave it alone. And we just know he's going to tinker. Like, that's his favorite thing to do. So it's hilarious how he's gone just polar directions there.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I want to talk tonight. Benoit, we were talking about him earlier. He's become a little bit of an agitator on top of being just physical. He's really pissing guys off. He made a massive hip check tonight.
I can't remember
who it was. And then the guy punched him in the head because of it, and he drew a penalty. And I just like to sit here and say, as a Leafs fan, I enjoy that shit. I thoroughly enjoy that shit. And we need more of that on the Toronto Maple Leafs, not against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay? Well, we're losing our cool and punching guys in the head. No. I like it. I love it so much. Simon Benoit was laughing all night, and I love that energy.
Yeah, I agree. There was another play too where, like, there was one of the Jersey guys was just like so annoyed at Benoit. He was trying to skate away, and Benoit's just like reaching around anyone he can to try and just grab the guy's shirt, just do whatever he can to, like, just get him that little bit more agitated. So yeah, I do think I see the same things that you do. I mean, the Leafs are kind of becoming full of these guys, which just, like, I'm turning back into a, like, hardcore, like, I actually love this team fan, where, like, because, you know, it might not be the star players,
six is, yeah.
But, like, there's guys in this lineup who give a shit. And, like, it starts with guys like Domi and Bertuzzi up in the lineup. But, like, you know, when you're looking in down in the bottom six and the defense, it's like a whole new ball
the
game.
The defense, man. Like, we've had a couple of gritty forwards in, like, the Matthews era. You know, even a couple of guys who could hold their own.
One doesn't guys. Count.
It's been the defense that's always been so soft. And now it's like Morgan Riley, Plumber, Butcher, Plumber, Butcher. Like, fantastic. Like, that's exactly what we need down there. And, you know, I know I'm on the exact same page. I'm falling for this team all over again.
And, like, it's funny that last time we brought Ilya Lyubushkin here, like, he was by far the toughest guy. And, like, that's all anyone talked about is, like, look at the hits this guy's throwing. Like, look at it. Like, he actually will clear the front of a net. And now he comes here and, like, I don't think he's, like, the third or fourth toughest guy on this team. You know, and that doesn't say, I'm not saying anything negative about Lyubushkin. It's just the team that he's come into. Or I guess, like, he got here before Joel Edmondson, but, you know, like, Joel Edmondson jumps him in the list. And yeah, it's just, yeah, a different group than we've seen in previous years. And I was kind of in this decline of just like, I hate that this team doesn't care that about winning. You know, like I see that they're crying after
they don't hate to lose.
Yeah, but they don't hate to lose, you know, and it's perfect. And I just, and that tells me a lot. And like, I want to cheer for a team that wants to be winning too. And that's the main reason I've cheered for Domi all this time, even though he hasn't.
Check out the Avs sometime.
No, I won't watch that garbage.
Team who wants to win. Yeah. How about yeah, this really good team?
Yeah.
I know. There's no problems over there when I'm just like feeling good about myself. It's like watching Ted Lasso. It's like, I just want like no problems. I just want a good time. I'm going to go watch the Avalanche. You want drama? Yeah. Come over to the Leafs.
I try that with the Canucks and then still sometimes they let me down.
Ooh, it's dramatic over there.
It's dramatic.
Very yeah. dramatic over in Vancouver.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a break.
I wanted to mention Pontus Holmberg as well. Mm-hmm. Now, he was very close to crossing the edge. He may have crossed the edge and not noticed tonight, which it happened a couple times. Linesmen and referees, the Leafs definitely had too many men on the ice at one point. And Pontus Holmberg definitely spun Jack Hughes and threw him to the ground. And he got away with that.
Both those things are true.
But I like that from Pontus Holmberg. And like, he had just tangled up with Luke Hughes chasing a puck back, comes forward, grabs Jack Hughes and throws him to the ground. I mean, he got away with it. So we're talking about like jerks. Like, I like that from Pontus Holmberg. And the fact that he didn't take a penalty, I wonder if that says anything about his, you know, name now in the league. Like, he's played quite a few games. He's not, he may be still considered a rookie, even. I'm not quite sure, but.
Oh, probably.
He's been around. Like, the refs know him, and they're not, like, he's not necessarily that kind of guy. We don't have to watch him. It's not like a new person to watch. And maybe he's going to get away with some shit. Maybe he'll be the guy for us that just gets under the radar and gets away with a bunch of shit like that. And like I said, we need more of that on the Leafs.
You know, timing's everything. And timing was perfect for Holmberg because the trip, like, they're on the penalty kill. And so, like, you have to almost commit murder to get a 5-on-3. And, like, it was close. But, like, just not quite enough. And then the too many men. Like, Jersey had just basically done the same thing, like, two shifts before. And so I think, like, the refs and linesmen knew that they missed one on Jersey. And so it was like, okay, well, we'll give them the Leafs one here. And so, like, yeah, timing's everything. He could have taken two penalties tonight for sure. But, yeah, that's just...
And we would have been sitting here cursing him for it, but since he didn't...
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's also, like, how many times in hockey is a penalty... is there an infraction that's not called? Like, you could go around and see like a bunch of them that, you know, that aren't being called. It's hard to really, you know, it's hard for me to celebrate a guy for not being called for a penalty because I'm not even sure what the rules are for penalties. So like, I'm pretty sure that was one, but it's funny. Like, I just can't wait for there to be no penalties. I hate penalties. I hate power play and penalty kill. I think, like, probably because the Leafs suffer on both so much during the playoffs is why I like when the whistle goes away. But it's also just a more entertaining game for me. So, yeah, I can't wait for there to be absolutely nothing called except for blatant trips.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, the occasional cross check to the head, which, yeah, you know, is going to happen, or like some crazy boarding penalty by Kyle Clifford.
Who's going to be the guy suspended this year? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to be the first guy suspended in the first round for the Leafs, huh?
Yeah.
We should make bets on that. Yeah, who do you think it'll be?
I don't know. I'm just trying
to... It could be Reeves, but I think he's too smart.
No. Yeah, he's a smart guy, a tough guy. He, like, a lot of the time I think that he should take a hit, and he's like, you know, errs on the side of caution. Yeah,
wait.
I'm not taking a penalty.
Yeah.
Who is it? I don't know. Like, my gut feeling just goes to Domi, unfortunately.
It's gonna hurt.
Emotions just get involved, but other than that, like, no one really has like a really like fuse. Like, maybe Labushkin, maybe he has a temper that we just don't know about.
Jake McCabe.
Oh, you called
that's
it.
The guy right there. Jake, yeah. McCabe is where my money goes for the suspension in the first round this year. Yeah, although he was pretty good. Like I'm not. He wasn't good last year in the first round, and I mean, he was decent. He was shaky from my memory. That was his first playoffs ever. But they did win the round in the end. But, you know, I think now with his comfortability and, like, him coming in and just cross-checking. I don't even remember. It was, like, DeBrusk and then Marshawn both in the head, like, back-to-back. Just, like, here, eat it. It's, like, 30 seconds into the game. You've done absolutely nothing. Good morning. Yeah. Have breakfast.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe he's a guy, though, that can knows the right way to do it and when to do it. So, let's hope for that. But, yeah. I had one more player to bring up for tonight. Do you have anything else? All right.
No, that's it for me.
Nick Robertson is actually back checking and actually making smart decisions for like the first time ever.
You're finally on the Nick Robertson train.
Well, like he only started doing it tonight. So like just calm tonight. Down. Hey, yeah. Like literally. I was just like, is that Nick Robertson? Like, no way. And actually it's like he's picked up something from Matthews, because the way that Matthews will lean on a guy to not let him get away, and while he can do a can opener stick check. Like it was exactly what Robertson was doing tonight. He did it twice, like in the second period, I think it was. And I was pretty impressed. He also just like, he was eager to get a goal. Like that guy's got a cannon of a shot. So,
so good. I really want him to work out just because he's got such a good shot. He's got a game changing shot. You know, in a tie game in the playoffs, when it comes down to one shot in overtime, he could definitely be a guy that wires one in just because of that missile that comes off the end of his stick.
The only problem is I still wouldn't put him in the lineup for game one. So, you know, like he's on the right track.
It might be, you know, round two, game four, and you might need it to have a chance to keep going. And he wires it in and gives you a chance and you guys end up getting through the round or whatever. But I just think with that shot, he's lethal and he's essential to keep in this lineup at some point in the playoffs. If it's not game one. Like, I don't even know what game one's going to look like this year. Like, the last couple of years, like, do you remember it's like 2 years ago against Tampa, I think? It's going to be violent. Like, we had one game, Kyle Clifford gets suspended, and then all of a sudden it's just, like, soft as baby shit for the rest of the series, and they lose. So, I don't really know about that.
Yeah, the thing, I think Robertson, like, if Yarncroak is back, then, yeah, I don't see how he possibly gets in the lineup. If Yarncroak isn't back, then I guess there's an opportunity possibly for him to have a spot. But again, we're having the same, you know, I'm saying the same thing where I'm just not eager to put him on a fourth line. So I guess that's where it kind of stops with me.
I think we're going to be shocked at what this team actually looks like for game one of this.
You think it's 11-7?
Oh, don't even do that. Yeah, okay, no, it probably will be. Yeah, no, man, you're not even wrong. It'll probably be 11-7.
Yeah,
like, fuck me. Yeah,
because like,
you're not wrong.
Keith doesn't even play the fourth line in the playoffs. Like, he plays them for like 3 minutes. So,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. I wasn't the one that came up with the idea. I heard someone say it today, and I was just like, you know what? I feel like that is what it's gonna be. So.
Yep, and we got a whole shit ton of defensemen again, just like last year, and they're running 11-7 last year. Damn, I think you're right. And I think it worked for them a couple times last year too, didn't it? Which is even worse.
It did work,
yeah. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. I hate 11-7. Anyways,
I half hate it. Just like, I do like having the extra body on defense, but you're just like, every pairing seems to be different when it comes out on the ice. So, like, I don't like that part of it, but.
Yeah, I know, and that's no chemistry, and you're just constantly switching. You don't know where guys are going to be. You're kind of, you know, you have to think more. Who am I on with? Where does he like to play?
I think the forwards are better because, like, you're putting higher skill players in the lineup in, like, 3 minutes of the game where, like, you know, instead of Reeves, you have Marner. You know, like, obviously that's better. It's just, like, you got to worry about, like, if you get to the second series and things like that, like, you're wearing down your forwards too, but.
But you're fucking the chemistry up on the team. Like I just said, like if you could see that it was a struggle to find, you know, Matthews, somebody to play with. And then even the first couple of games with Domi, he didn't look great, but he's looked really, really good now. And they found some chemistry and it takes time. Right. And now like they switched that off and he's used to Marner. And then, you know, like it, and I think it's more of a Domi is now going to be playing with a different person. And that's going to fuck his chemistry because he's used to Matthews being here. Well, this guy's not here. So now he's trying to create plays that other guys aren't going to be able to make. And he's in a totally different mindset. And it's just like you think differently playing with different types of players and different guys, right? Like you don't always play the same game when you go out there. You're playing to your line, like who you're with.
I think it's only the fourth line, though. Like, who really cares? Because, like, your top three lines just say the exact same. And just, you know, you just pick a random dude to go out on the fourth line shift. So, like, I'm not saying that you, like, keep rotating everyone through and stuff. I just mean, like...
Yeah, no, I know that's not what you're saying, but that's what Keith does.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough, yeah.
So, sorry, I thought we were talking about real life. And and if this is how it's going to happen, then he's just going to fucking blender it all game. And I hate that. I hate it.
I mean, to be fair, he's probably going to blender the hell out of it anyway. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no doubt. Hopefully they just go up big and he doesn't. He just sticks to the lines because it works out. Although, you know what? They're going to like they're gonna go up 2-0. This is my prediction. They'll go up 2-0 in the first round. Then he's going to change the lines. He's going to change the lines to go home. They come home and there'll be like a new defenseman in. And then everything's just going to... Fuck me. I've watched this team for too long. No. Anyways, we got the Capitals Thursday. Is Ovi going to score, CP?
I mean, probably, but I hope not. But probably.
You think Sammy's back for that game? You think we see Martin Jones?
I'm going to say we see Jones, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked. That's a good point. But I think that Sammy will, if like he had to play, I think that he would be ready to, but... they're probably going to rest him for at least, you know, another one. So maybe even two, you know, it's, I want to make sure that he's fine.
Yeah, but. I think so. You take your time.
Yeah.
Shane, the Bartman leaving us some more comments. I'd like to see Marner play with his old junior buddy Domi. I like that too. The problem is they are so, so similar. But you know, I, in theory, say that it should work and that Domi could hit the left and Marner could hit the right and they could just both hit Matthews and, goals, goals, goals. How do you like it? And then a second question here is Revo in the lineup for game one?
No, and game one, I would say if we're doing 12 forwards, then I think they do put him in. If we're doing the 11 and 7 thing that they're probably end up doing, I'm going to say no. But they could do 11 and 7. Like I predict they do that in the first round for sure.
At game least one, once, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Game one, though, I could see them going with Reeves because like they've always like, Sheldon Keefe's always, you know, he's put, you know, the Clifford experiment. Simmons was always in there. So I think.
But has he not learned?
No, like we do the same thing every year, buddy.
That's true.
The only thing that changes is because we got a new GM and now we have different players.
No, you're right. Yeah, it just feels different. It's all the same shit. It's all the same.
Same coach. Yeah.
Same shit. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back Thursday. That's a wrap for Split the Defense Leafs post game. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe on our YouTube. Please rate and review the show. Find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all of their socials. Until next time. Peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.